The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey, friends, and welcome back to Afternoons with Mike. Here I am back in the studio after about 3 weeks of being away and at conferences. First of all, I had a lot of fun down at the Gaylord Palms for two conferences in a row. First of all, it was with the Liberty Pastors Training Camp. And then after that, it was the Faith and Freedom Coalition. And that conference was held on the 17th, 18th, and 19th. And then on the next Monday, I'm in Texas for the NRB. So here I am now back in the studio for the first time. And I've got a guest with me today from our sponsor location from Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando. It is so great to have Martha Chrislieb with me today. Martha, welcome.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Now, you've been in our studios before. You accompanied Joe Sharp the first time that Joe was up here, and that was a lot of fun. We didn't get to talk to you that day, apart from just greeting you and all of that, but I mean on the radio. And now today we're here finding out a little bit about you and your story. And as you and I were just sharing a few moments ago, one of the privileges I get to do in my life is to talk to people and to put their stories, if you will, on the air and around the world via our podcast and terrestrial radio, which we still get to do that too. And that's so much fun. Martha, your name, first of all, I was taken by your name, Chrislieb.
Yes.
And it's a German. I knew it. I told my wife, I said, now, I don't know if she's German or if her husband is German, but that is a German name and it means Christ's love.
It does.
Yeah. And that's something I studied German when I was in high school. Why? I don't know, Martha. I did and I loved it. And now I'm wishing living in South Florida, in Florida, especially for people who come up from South Florida, like where Palm Beach is, it would be helpful to know Spanish. And,
right.
And I know how to say taco, and that's about it, and, you know, in Spanish. So,
absolutely.
But I do know Chrislieb, and so welcome to my program today.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, you know, the truth is that we all have a story, and would love to hear your story.
Okay.
How did you come to know the Lord? Where did you grow up?
I grew up here in Central Florida. Like, my mom and all of her brothers were born in Kissimmee. And I grew up in the church, not so much my family, but my grandma always made sure I was on that church bus, you know, when I don't think they even do church buses that much anymore, but I was always on the church bus and I went to church. I've always believed in Jesus. And, you know, I got baptized when I was 12 at a vacation Bible school. And at the time I thought, I don't know that I really knew what I was doing, but, you know, you grow up in the church and that's the thing you do, right? You have Jesus in your heart, you get baptized, and that's what you do.
So many people I've talked with had that very kind of experience with regards to their early entrance into life and with the baptism. Of course, baptism is very important, and yet later on they see all of those things kind of like ramp up in their meaning in their life.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what has happened. You know, I had a lot of trauma when I was a kid. I had been molested by 4 different family members and everything. And then I kind of got numb, but I always knew God was there and he was protecting me. I just got numb. And I, you know, I kind of acted out just a little bit. When my 20s, I had met a guy that ended up raping me. And out of that rape, I got pregnant and I gave my son up for adoption. But since then, God's restored that. Like, I've had reunion with my son now, and he's 31 years old. And this year he made me a nana for the first time.
Oh my goodness.
You know, and most people are like, I don't know how you still believe in God. And I'm like, but God didn't do that. God, like, protected my heart. He was always there. I always had faith in him. And I also believe wholeheartedly that God can take ashes and turn them into beautiful things. And that is exactly what has happened in my life. You know, it's been bumpy, but you just kind of go with it. And I always had faith. And do you watch The Chosen?
Oh, I love it.
You love
I
the
had
Chosen?
A chance to meet Dallas Jenkins last week.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I bet that was awesome.
It was wonderful.
One of the things that Mary said in one of the most recent episodes was that I have faith in him. I just don't have faith in myself that I could live up to his expectations. And I think that's kind of my path in a lot of ways until I just kind of grew older and I started realizing that that's not what it's about, right? It's about just God's guiding my path, and he's just guiding my path every single day from then on.
Yeah, I like that. You know, you said something earlier. I'm going to go back to it for just a moment. And it was like the response that you made to maybe a family member when they said, how can you continue to believe in God when these things happen? Bad things happen to us all, and yet you had that ability to discern that it was not God that was doing those bad things. And that is a theological truth that is so deep that we live in a fallen world.
We definitely live in a fallen world.
And, you know, I think people tend to think about the bad things that happen, and they don't realize how gracious God is and all of the wonderful things that happen that should be. Like, why does anything good happen in this world in light of our sinfulness, in light of the world, in light of the amount of just mess there's going on? I'm just amazed that good things happen.
Absolutely. I mean, and, you know, people are like, the world, we're going to see good things. Well, God's going to come back, and the world's not going to get any better before he comes back.
In fact, it will get worse, according to the Bible.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, you're so right in saying that, realizing that just because bad things happen, honestly, the Lord told us all about that. We were warned well in advance in his word that we were going to suffer a lot of tribulations, a lot of trials.
He did.
And, you know, we're going to make it, though, in the end.
Absolutely. But he also told us to be joyful in all things and with prayer and preparation.
With prayer and through prayer and fasting,
yes.
Number one, we're going to see a lot come about in our lives.
Absolutely.
So, you know, when this happened to you and you find yourself now a mom who has given up a child to adoption, how many years was it between the time that you did that you were reconciled with your son?
26 years. And, you know, and I always knew like that was the right decision to give up for adoption. I didn't have support. I was 19. I didn't have a high school diploma. I didn't have support from home. My mom is kind of a toxic person and my dad was not in my life at all. And, so there was no support. And all I knew is that abortion was not the answer. And I had no capability of taking care of this child. So there was a family who could not have children and was a Christian family. And that's who he went to. You know,
did you have an ability back then to help in that decision to direct that child?
I did get to make my decision. I had a family member that knew of a family, and she came to me and told me about them. And so the more I learned about them, my heart was like, this is the right family. And I knew where he lived. I knew who the family was. There was no contact. You know, it was a open adoption, but not a full open adoption. Just we knew who each other were. And I also knew that, you know, this was his family now. And I gave up that right. And when he came of age, he was able to come find me. His parents told him he was adopted from the time he was little. So he's always known. And so he finally did come find me. I did not go looking for him. You know, not that my heart didn't want to. I just knew that it wasn't my place. And then he did. And it's remarkable, Mike. He's very much like me. We are very similar in a lot of ways and have very good connection. It's surprising of the similarities that we do have.
Is the relationship regular now, a part of your life?
It is a part of my life. We've been in each other's presence 3 times now. He lives in a different state, so it's not like we can see each other, but we do talk regularly. The first time that I met him, we went to the Braves game up in Georgia. He follows the Braves.
Yeah, so baseball fan.
And my daughter, who is, she's 26 now, she went with me, and we got to meet him together for the first time.
Mm-hmm. What was that like?
It was honestly nerve-wracking and exciting. So my daughter and I, we drove up to Georgia, and him and his best friend drove down because we met halfway. And I heard that we were at the hotel, and he went down the hall. He stopped at the door. He turned around, and he walked away. And then he comes back and finally knocks on the door. So he was as nervous as I was, you know, and it was the weekend of his birthday. So I was able for the first time at 26 years old, give him his first birthday present. You know,
from
his mom.
Oh my goodness.
And then we went to the Braves game, and he had told me, he's a boy, right? So he had told me, okay, you can cry at the hotel, but you can't cry in public.
No crying at the game.
There's no crying in baseball, you know? And so, but suddenly I realized, sitting at this baseball game, which is massive, right? I had my daughter on my right-hand side and my son on my left-hand side for the very first time in my life.
Oh.
And I'm trying so hard not to cry at a baseball game, but it was near impossible.
Yeah, I would think so too. And it wasn't because they did such a great job in the game, but my goodness, you had a lot going on emotionally in your heart at that moment.
Absolutely.
That had to be just an amazing thing to catch yourself right there, like you said, right in the middle of those two dear people to you.
Absolutely.
That's great.
I would not trade that moment for anything in the world.
You know, that's one of the beautiful things that the Lord does in our lives. We may, and we are, a broken people. Apart from the Lord, we would not have hope. But because of Jesus, we have hope. And he is the God of second chances to a lot of these relationships, to a lot of situations. And people really do give up too quickly, I think, in their lives before giving God an opportunity to work those things out. Because in your case, you, like you said, you allowed him to come looking for you, which I believe that is what most in his situation, most people who know they were adopted, they want to find out their birth mom or their birth father if possible.
I think so too. And sometimes I think they want to just so they just know where they come from. Even in his case, he didn't know that he actually wanted a relationship with me until after he met me. So it was like he was coming to find me for medical purposes, just to see where he came from, his birth story, which that's a whole story in itself, because I had to tell him, because he asked about the birth father, and he got really upset, and so be it. I mean, he deserved to be upset about that, but he kind of yelled and was like, I came from rape. And I said, no, you didn't. You came from God. You came from God. And like I had said earlier, I believe that God can take ashes and turn them into beautiful. And that's exactly what I told him, that he was the beautiful thing that came out of that horrible situation.
Beauty, you know, from ashes. That's
beauty
right.
from ashes.
Yeah.
And that was the first day that he told me he loved me.
Wow. Wow. I'm going to be crying here in a moment with this story. This is amazing. If you've just tuned in, I'm talking to Martha Chrislieb. And that name, if you have not heard that name before, and I don't know that I've heard that last name like this before, but the root of that word is Christ's love. And very clearly, the love of Christ has been with Martha from the beginnings of her life, and his hand is upon her. And this story, you know, I think the story of adoption, Martha, is such a beautiful story, because in our lives as believers, we've all been adopted into the family of God, every one of us. So there's not a person who's a Christian that in one way really, they all have to kind of see it and recognize it, that the person that is adopted is there, they are in that family because that family wanted them. And in your case, it wasn't that you didn't want that child.
Absolutely.
You did. You wanted what was best for that child, but at that moment was giving this child up for adoption. That was what the best thing that you could have done. And that is a picture of the love of God. But I just love how the Lord redeems us and makes us to be a part of the family. We are grafted in. And, you know, I had a chance to be in an adoption process, legal process, where the adoption was finalized. And the judge sat there, and this is such a beautiful picture of our relationship with the Lord. He sat and he looked at the adoptive parents who were foster parents before this adoption was becoming finalized and legal. And the judge looked at that boy and looked at the parents, and he said, now you know that in just a moment, legally speaking, you will be every bit as much of these two parents' family as their own natural born children are. And that, he said, he paused, can never be reversed.
Right.
And that's what God did for you and for me.
Absolutely.
He brought us in such a way that it's not going to be reversed. Isn't that a wonderful picture?
That is.
I love it. And Martha has experienced this firsthand. And when's the next time that you're going to get to go up and be with him?
I'm not sure. He got married, and then,
oh, wonderful.
And then, so he was a single guy, got married, they had the baby, but she already had four children. So he went from being single to married with five children. His life's a little busy right now.
Just a few things going on there.
Yes.
He's going to have his own baseball team before long. At this rate, I'm talking to Martha Chrislieb, and she is with Palm Beach. We're going to hear about her job and her story, and there's a whole lot more to this lady than what we've even been able to touch on so far. I think you're going to really enjoy hearing it. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike, and you're in tune to the Shepherd Radio Network.
You've had this feeling that there has to be more to work than just work. You have a job, but what you really long for is a career, one that makes you feel like you're actually making a difference in the world. At Palm Beach Atlantic University, they understand that your career journey is unique. PBA's Orlando campus offers respected programs with personalized instruction from a Christian worldview that empowers you to realize your goals and career opportunities on your terms. Start your new journey today with Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando at pba.edu. That's pba.edu. Your degree, your way. pba.edu.
What an honor to be sitting and talking today to Martha Chrislieb. Martha is the admissions counselor, I think is the short description of her job, at Palm Beach Atlantic University, and that is the Orlando campus. We are so privileged here at the Shepherd to have a relationship with this wonderful organization. And I met Martha long before they ever became sponsors of our program, when she came up with what then was the new director of PBA Orlando, Joe Sharp. And Joe was here back in December, right before I had that horrible, nasty little bout with COVID. I'll never forget that. So I called Joe afterwards and just said, hey, you okay? I didn't give you COVID, did I?
Nope.
And fortunately, the answer was no. And oh my goodness, that was just, that was a really, really crazy time for me. But it was a great time and as well to get to meet people like you. And Martha, you said that, you know, in the first segment, you gave us your story, and you've been through a lot already at a young age. By the time you were a young mom, giving that child away as you did to adoption, loving that child in a way that I think few people, unless they've gone through something like that, or unless people have known somebody that's gone through like that. As a pastor for years, I counseled people and heard stories like yours time and time again. And always, it pointed me always back to the great love that is being exhibited by both parties, of one who gives their child out of love up for adoption because they want what's best. Mm-hmm. And then the family receiving that child as their own, loving that child. It's love on both sides. It's truly a love situation.
100%.
And I just want to affirm that to you and to really commend you for the way you live. It's very clear to me that God had a purpose in even naming you Chrisleigh, Christ Love. That's what that means, and that's what you are exhibiting. Now, you've told us a little bit about your background. You got saved as a young person. How is it that you ended up doing what you're doing today?
Well, that is an interesting story in itself. So I was working in the school district, and I had volunteered every single day at the school district until the school decided to hire me, right? And they're like, okay, she's here every day, we might as well hire her. And then I proceeded every year. And
were
then
you a volunteer, if I could interrupt?
I volunteered. Volunteered every day until they decided to hire me.
That's one way to get a job. Just show up and say, I'll volunteer.
Absolutely. And then I got a chance to go to the district office and work in the homeless department with the school district. I was a program assistant, but I couldn't go any higher because I didn't have a college degree. And so because I had gone to college when I was 21, but I was not mentally prepared. Obviously, from the story I told you earlier,
yeah, right.
I just wasn't ready. And so I quit, and I ended up having a family, my husband and my daughter and all of that. And so I decided I didn't want to get passed over anymore. So in my 40s, I went back to school.
Oh.
And I found out about Palm Beach Atlantic University, and I walked through those doors, and I felt like I was at home. And I started school in 2014. And I was still unsure at that time. Like I was getting older, and I thought I hadn't been in a classroom in 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, but God showed me that by each step I took, I was more than capable of doing this. And in 2017, I got my bachelor's degree, and from walking in the doors thinking I was too dumb to do this. And I walked out of the doors graduating summa cum laude. And I cried the day that I found out, but it built up so much confidence. And that was December. In February of the next year, I found out that there was an opening as the campus coordinator at the university, and I took it. I just jumped at the opportunity. The university changed my life,
mm-hmm.
and I just thought this is where I needed to be. And then I got the opportunity to move into admissions. And then I thought, wow, now I get to actually help people change their lives the way that my life was changed.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that role, I got my master's degree as well. And that's how I came into going into PBA. And I love it there. It really has changed my life in the way that I thought I was going. God was like, I think I'm going to turn you in a different direction. And mm-hmm. he pivoted me completely.
Now, how many hours when you started off in your 20s, as you mentioned, mm-hmm. and you dropped out at age 21, I think you said, how many hours of college did you have completed that actually transferred over to your future undergraduate degree?
I had about 4 hours that actually transferred.
Only four. So, and in your 40s, you're functionally mm-hmm. starting an undergraduate degree program.
From the beginning. Yes.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you were doing that, were there a lot of other people your age at that point in their 40s?
There was. It was because our campus caters to the working adult, right? So I think we age range right now from 21 to 65.
Mm-hmm.
So we have people in their 60s deciding to come back to school. Either it's because their dream is to get a college degree and they just never have it. Some people are actually like, I'm going to just change my whole life and go a whole different career path.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, our medium is in the 35 to 40 range. And so it was remarkable.
So it wasn't unusual at all for you to be there in that class then.
It wasn't. I was pleasantly surprised.
Mm-hmm. So that didn't make you feel like you were like an odd person in a class of just much, much younger. And that just makes a long ways toward that thing of being comfortable and feeling like this. Like you said, you felt like you were home.
Yeah, I did feel like I was home, and I still feel like I'm home.
You know, that's a great story. Now, you spend 4 years. Was it 4 years developing that hitting those hours?
A little less than 4 years, because I went nonstop.
Summer school as well. Yeah. Wow. Yeah, you were a driven person. Now, talk for a moment about what it meant to you, what that looked like in your life, to feel like you had been looked over for jobs.
Well, I had been doing the job. The job I was doing in the school district, I had done for 6 months alone, because there was a liaison and I was the program assistant, and the liaison left, and it took 6 months for them to replace that person. So the entire homeless program for the entire district, I was running alone. And then they passed me over because I didn't have my degree. And I thought, I'm more than capable of doing this, right? But I think most times jobs want to see that you've started something and you completed it in your degree. I get that. But at the same time, life experience should count for something. And I know that I'm the admissions counselor and I promote college, but life experience does account for something. But as now, when I talk to students and they're like, why should I go back to school? And they don't think they can do it. Their life experience is, you're bringing that into that classroom as well. And you're not, that's what I love about these classroom experiences, is because you're not just learning from the professors either. You're learning from each other. And each of us have our own life experience that we're bringing into that classroom.
And that is always a really exciting thing to see, when people can get a hold of what they've been doing and what's in their heart, and see that translate into what is going to be their future. That is, that's a win-win right there as well.
Absolutely.
And that way they are motivated. And you know, there's that old saying that's, that goes something like this, that if a person has something invested in something, they do better at working it and completing it than they, than a person who's just kind of like handed everything.
Well, you build up more confidence and you take pride in what you do when you are actually investing yourself into that situation. Because if you're handed to it, you don't have that pride that, of accomplishment.
And I think it's one of the things that is a real benefit for people being a little bit older than just, let's say, 18 when they go. And there's a lot of people that get their college done at age 22 and they've got their undergraduate degree. They've done very well. But there's a lot of people that really don't have the, the kind of like the frame of mind or the maturity or the life experience or whatever you want to call it at that age. And they do better, as did you, when they're a little bit older and they've got this thing called wisdom that, that it doesn't come easily in life, my friends. It comes through some hard knocks, and you gain that wisdom and you gain that confidence that, okay, now I see what it is that I really want to do.
Absolutely. You know, and the older you get, the more wisdom you get, right? And you just see what it's worth.
Now, when you came and you're in that first role at Palm Beach, fresh out of getting your undergraduate degree, and you've got this, and you, now your eyes already on that secondary degree, the master's degree, I'm sure that there were people in your life that were counseling you and that we're pouring into you. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. So I, my husband, first and foremost, he has no desire to go back to college. He hated high school. He doesn't do that. But he is my number one supporter. Like, I think I may have scared him a little bit when I was like, I want to go back to school and I want to do all of this. And yeah, we're taking out student loans, right? And he was like, it's okay though. Just, it's an investment in yourself, and I want you to do this for you. And he supported me all the way through both degrees, all the way. Like, there was one time he was more stressed out than I was when I was taking my final exam, You know, like he was just rooting for me, and he always did. Mm-hmm. He always has. And then I have one of my very best friends. She has always just, even when I doubted myself, she came up to, in fact, this morning she sent me a prayer wishing me good luck this morning and everything. And she's just my biggest cheerleader.
Mm-hmm. You were talking about for this radio show, good luck for this?
She did, yes.
You need to write her back and said, well, thanks, but the guy said I did all right. So her prayers worked. Yeah, yes. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. It's, you know, counseling is a big deal. And people maybe have a very narrow picture as to what it means to be a counselor. But the truth of it is, when you have people in your life, like what you've talked about, being supporters for you, mm-hmm. people who are in your corner and really just encouraging your heart along these things, that is in itself a form of counseling, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I don't think we could, any of us could live life without those counselors in mm-hmm. our life, the little supporters.
When you were in your undergraduate degree and you've already pointed out the fact that you've had some experience, although you were looked over when you didn't have that degree, but now you are, you know, did the idea of staying at this college happen before that job opening happened, or was your love for PBA very clear already?
My love for PBA was pretty clear when I got my first degree. Now I will say that I didn't anticipate that I was going to be staying and making PBA my career. Mm-hmm. I actually had a different plan in mind, and God was like, well, I think you're going to be really good here. And he opened this position up in admissions, and I absolutely love being able to help other people change their lives.
So tell us how that works now for a person like yourself, who's an admissions counselor. When people come to you and they say, I'm not really sure if I can do this, or I'm not really sure what I want to say major in, mm-hmm. how do you start that process?
Well, I usually talk to them about what their end goal is. What is it that their passions are? And I just talk to them about what they've been doing, what they want to do. But then I also encourage them because I've been where they are. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, because I can speak into their fears, and because I had those same fears, and I can try to get them calmed down because I've been there. Mm-hmm. And I do talk to them. I share my story with them, my PBA story with them, with each and every one that comes to my door or calls, because it's relevant to them. Because everyone has the same fears about going back to school, especially when you are doing it later on.
Were you always in the location where you are right now at PBA?
I have. Yep. I did both of my degrees at PBA Orlando, and both of my positions were there at the same campus.
Now, for those that may not be aware, this is the Orlando branch of Palm Beach. Obviously, that name refers back to the locale for the original campus, which is in Palm Beach. West mm-hmm. Palm Beach area. Yes. And but I think unless people have visited your campus in Orlando, they would not have any idea how beautiful it is.
No. And I think, like Joe likes to say, it's the best kept secret in Orlando. Mm-hmm. And we're celebrating 20 years this year.
Wow. 20 mm-hmm. years.
20 years.
And it is a gorgeous facility and beautiful surroundings and a lot going on there. Some of the most friendly people. I got to take the tour and I really enjoyed it. It's really great. And it's great having Martha Chrislieb here. She's the admissions counselor at PBA Orlando. And we've got one more segment coming back. There's a lot more to Martha than just being an admissions counselor, and a surprising reason why all of that is the case. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike here on The Shepherd.
Are you looking to make a fresh career start? As Florida's top Christian college, Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando knows your faith is important to you, and it should be to your school as well. PBA Orlando offers a faith-based experience unlike any other. Whether it's a degree in leadership ministry or counseling, PBA combines biblical concepts from exceptional professors who bring years of real-world experience as leaders in their fields. Call them today at 844-PBA-ORLANDO. That's 844-PBA-ORLANDO. Education for your soul as well as your mind.
It's been a joy to have Martha Chrislieb here on the program today. Martha is the admissions counselor for Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando. And hearing her story, if you've just tuned in, you've got to get the podcast and listen to her story of a young lady finding herself through just basically an attack, finds herself pregnant, gives that baby up for adoption, is later, 20 some odd years later, reconciled back with her son, and then in her 40s, getting a vision to go back to school, really, in some ways, 4 hours short of starting from the very, very beginning of an undergraduate degree, which led to a master's degree, which led to her being an admissions counselor in one of the finest colleges around, and that's Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando. That's quite a story, and I'm just grateful to God for you, Martha.
Thank you so much. He really has just led my path.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, you have a heart for the homeless, and that was very clear. I mean, people who are in business love to read people's bios and their profiles on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And that's something, obviously, you in the business world that you're in, I'm sure you deal with that that software program just about every day of your life, I'm sure. And it was in your profile that I read that you really have a love to help people who are homeless. So tell us where that love came from.
So in 2008, which we all know was a rough year.
A crash in real estate and everything else.
Yes. My husband was working two jobs and I was working one, and we lost all three jobs in a 2-week period.
Oh, wow.
And we found ourselves in a homeless situation where we, the two of us with our daughter, lived in a hotel. And it, I know when people are like, you live in a hotel, that is not the picture. It's not like the fancy hotels with, you know, with concierge. It was one of the pay by week hotels that, that a lot of bad things happen in some of those hotels. Mm-hmm. And, we ended up having to live in that hotel for over a year.
Wow.
Because once you get in that situation, it's really hard to get out because your pay is all going mm-hmm. into those hotels, and it's hard to save for those deposits and everything. And then we got out, obviously, and we I had the opportunity, like I said before, to work in the homeless department at the school district. And when I compared to what I saw, because most of those are homeless families that are living in those hotels. And
sometimes when they're there in that homelessness condition, mm-hmm. it's not that they have no income. It's just that they are under what they need to be from a standpoint of income.
Absolutely. And rent is high and wages are low. And sometimes it's a family, it's a single mom, or it's a mom and dad, and they have three or four kids, and they don't have any place to go. And so I had the privilege in the school district to actually work with those same families that I roomed next door with. Mm. And I just believe that education is one of the things that gets you out of poverty as well. And so we got to help with, like, in the school district that I worked in was uniforms. So we got to help provide uniforms to students because their parents couldn't afford uniforms. We did fundraisers for school supplies, and we got to help with school supplies for students and different things like that. And there was one year we got to, there was a rehoming opportunity, and I got one of the very first families that I got to help rehome was one that I actually lived with in a hotel. And so I got to help them get out of that situation. And I just saw a need for it. And there's a difference between the person that chooses to be homeless than the families that are living in these homeless situations. Mm-hmm. They really have the desire to leave. They just have no way to get out.
Do you feel that people maybe handle all homelessness and put it in one big box when it's actually, according to what you just said, it's not just one scenario. It's not a one size fits all.
It isn't. And I think there's such a stigma on homelessness that people don't realize that there are many different types of situations, and not even the one person you talk to, the very next one is a whole different situation. And they all have their own stories. Just like we have our own stories, they all have their own stories.
Now, when you were there, you mentioned that some of these places, like where you were living in this type of motel or hotel, it's not always good. What would be some of the rough things that you experienced when you were there?
My husband was going across the parking lot to he was carrying something out of the car to get into our room, and he had dropped something, so he had bent down to pick it up, and a SUV had cut the corner and actually hit my husband. And it turned out that he was a drug dealer that was leaving the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't found or anything like that. The cameras were blurry. So there was drug deals going on in the hotels and different things like that. And people like busted in some of the rooms to rob people and things of that sort. So they're just not safe. And there are many hundreds of families living in some of these hotels.
Was your husband badly injured in that?
You know, that is another really huge God story, because an ambulance came, took him to the hospital. I didn't get to go back there. He had hit him in the head and then ran over his foot. Not one broken bone. And the MRI was clear. So he had stitches and staples, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
So God really protected him through that too, because the fact that he hit him in the head, he could have gotten so much more damage.
So how now do you feel when you look at all the what's happened, your experience being homeless, living in one of these places, and now you're kind of out of that? Mm-hmm. What happens to you when you're driving down the street and you come up to a light and there is a person with a cardboard sign? What goes on in your mind?
Oh, I so wish that I could just scoop them up and help them in any way that I possibly can. I've always dreamed of a transitional housing program that would be holistic, where I could just get them in a housing situation, but then teach them how to live. And that's the other problem. Once you're in that situation for a long period of time, they forget what it's like to be normal.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to scoop them up and help them.
I think a lot of people, and this would be helpful, I think, for a lot of folks who really have a difficult time understanding, because this can happen to me too. And I see young people standing with these cardboard signs, and they're basically panhandling at an intersection or in front of a store. And I think a lot of people, well, it will cross their mind, why aren't they working? Or why don't they get a job? Why? I work. That's what people say. I've got a job. I'm having to do it. What is the other side to that?
The other side is that most likely there's somebody in that household that's already working. There probably is. It's probably low wage, and it's still not enough. Especially if you're a single mom and you have a couple of children, and not all situations are what you assume. It's not always drug related, and it's not always abuse. It's sometimes it's just low wages, and they have no family support.
Mm-hmm.
They have nobody to turn to. And so they are hopeless. They feel hopeless. And there's a lot of them who probably don't even know Jesus, that because they don't have the hope and they don't know what else to do, that's what they think they have to do.
Mm-hmm. And that is what they're doing. And, you know, that's something that we can, I think of the scripture verse that Jesus said, The poor will be with you always. We know that there's always going to be someone out there mm-hmm. begging for alms, maybe because of an injury. And I think that these are times that we need to be praying. We need to say, Lord, help me, give me wisdom. Don't let me put everybody into the same box, because that's what I've learned from you today, is that not everybody is in the same position when they're in that position. They're still in uniqueness to themselves, and their story mm-hmm. is one that needs finishing. But by God's grace, when we look at you and we look at what God's done in you and in your husband, because you did break out of all of that, and you found yourself on a different path that is now just amazing.
Absolutely. And only God can do that. And only God can do that for each of us, mm-hmm. no matter if we're homeless or not homeless. If it wasn't for him, there's a thing in the homelessness that every person generally is one paycheck away from being homeless.
Mm. One paycheck away, and that can happen. And, you know, we saw what COVID did mm-hmm. To a lot of the jobs in the parks and all of the people that were involved in the entertainment sector of our
Absolutely.
Economy really did find their paycheck just being gone.
Mm-hmm.
Initially furloughed, but then laid off.
Laid off.
And I know a lot has been now added back in, but I'm betting that a lot of the people that lived in Central Florida before COVID no longer live in Central Florida.
And if they do, then hopefully they had support that they're not living in those mm-hmm. hotels.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. Well, this has been very helpful. In the time that we have remaining here, if you would, Martha, tell us what advice you would have for people coming out of COVID. Now things are coming back online job-wise. And maybe there are people listening right now who feel like you did, that I've been looked over. Where I'm wanting what I've wanted to do, where I've wanted to work, it's not working out for me because they're looking past the fact that I don't have that degree. How do you counsel people?
I say you can do it. There is a way. And even if you think your life is too busy, if you think you can't afford it, come talk to me, because I promise there is a way that you can do it, and it will fit into your schedule, and you can afford it.
How do people get in touch with you?
You can call me at 844-PBA-ORLANDO, and it goes direct to my line.
That's Martha Chrislieb. She's the admissions counselor for Palm Beach Atlantic University Orlando. Martha, thank you for being here and sharing your story.
Thank you so much for letting me be here.
It's great to have you. And friends, thank you for joining us as well. We're going to catch you next time right here on Afternoons with Mike.
Afternoons with Mike, brought to you by Palm Beach Atlantic University, Orlando.